Welcome to the Inside Look at Legal podcast, a podcast by lawyers and experienced litigators, bringing you an inside look at today's legal practices. Hosted by Keith Miller, Butler, Schneider, and Pollack. Learn more about the firm at www.arkattorneys.com. And now, let's begin today's Inside Look at Legal.
This is Inside Look at Legal. I'm Caroline Currier, and I'm here with Christina Courtney. And we are talking about all things senior today. So we kind of touched on this in a previous episode, but this week we're talking about the blunders of blending a family. Basically, when we have two seniors over the age of 65 and they're getting married, kind of what that looks like and what the pitfalls or the struggles can be. Christina and I agree that we think it is very inspiring and sweet when seniors find love again.
Yes.
But we also see
what it looks like on the financial side.
Right. We see the financial pitfalls of that newfound romance and tying the knot and all the things that come with it. So in this other episode, we touched on encouraging your senior to not take the plunge, not tie the knot, not get married.
Which is hard in our day and age to get a senior to see this side of it.
Right, right. And a lot of times, too, seniors are so focused on their new romance and all the excitement that goes along with it.
And old-fashioned.
Right, yep. A lot of tradition and their moral compass guides them to marriage if they want to cohabitate. But a lot of times seniors get wrapped up in it and the kids have to be the bad guys, right? And say, Mom, I just want you to think about this. Dad, I want you to think about what this looks like, right? Having to have those tough conversations and seniors face certain realities that go along with marriage at an advanced age is tough. So that's why Christina and I are being the bad guys today, right? I guess. We're going to tell you the do's and don'ts and really just educate y'all on things you probably didn't know. So one of them being the major reason why you seniors over the age of 65 should not go through with a wedding. Long-term care costs are extremely high. I've got clients in nursing homes and they're paying upwards of, $240 a day.
Yeah, I think even $275 a day at some.
Yeah, so that ends up being, over $6,000 a month. And we've talked about Medicaid and kind of how all that works. Medicaid will pick up that bill only if you meet those qualifications that we've talked about in the past, those strict financial requirements. One of the big problems I see all the time is with these second marriages with seniors, they don't realize that long-term care costs are not protected by, let's say, like a separate estate plan or a prenuptial agreement. So those were the two things I talked about. Said, look, if your senior insists on getting married, you need these two things, a prenup and a separate estate plan. Well, neither of these documents protect your senior from having to pay their spouse's long-term care cost. So the federal government, they don't really recognize, or they don't have to recognize prenuptial agreements or a separate trust or a separate estate plan for long-term care purposes. So the Medicaid office says, okay, we're still talking about Betty and George. So we've got this new couple and they were just married. Let's say they're in their early 70s and now they're in their mid 80s, right? And George needs long-term care. Well, Betty has her separate estate plan. They had a prenuptial agreement that said all of Betty and George's property was separate to themselves, and it remained separate throughout the marriage. Even so, the Medicaid office says Betty and George are married, and all of their assets are combined and counted against both of them for long-term care purposes. That means that, let's say, Betty came into the marriage with $500,000 and George came into the marriage with $100,000. Well, George is going to spend his $100,000 pretty quick, right on this nursing home. If
very quick.
So that's probably about what, like 18 months maybe. And then they're going to look at Betty and they're going to say, well, Betty, you need to spend down until George meets the requirements. So then Betty's having to shell out $100,000, right, every couple years to pay for George's nursing home until she qualifies for Medicaid, which I think requires her to spend down to around $100,000.
Right.
And that is a really hard thing to grasp because people will say, I did everything right.
I saved.
You know, I protected everything for my kids. I had the prenuptial agreement. I had my separate estate plan, my trust. And still, you know, my assets are still counted with my spouse for long-term care purposes. It's something that's important for people to know. So that's why we're talking about it today. There are ways that we can protect estates from long-term care costs of a spouse, and that would be through an irrevocable trust. So I can give you a common example using Betty and George, of course. In this same scenario, right, so Betty and George are getting married in their early 70s, and Betty has $500,000 and George has $100,000. So when I look at these estates, Betty's kids might say, Mom, why don't you put your home and an investment account into an irrevocable trust and let us be the trustees? So effectively, the children own it and they hold it, right? And if their mom, you know, needs those benefits. So this plan works really well because at that point in time, Betty has, it's sort of like a lifetime gift, I guess we'll call it a gift for this purpose. Betty has basically gifted her home and a portion of her assets to her children, and they're just holding it for safekeeping, right? That prevents there being any kind of mix-up for Medicaid purposes, right? Betty no longer owns it. It's owned by this trust, this irrevocable trust. So for long-term care purposes, right, for Medicaid, after 5 years, which is the look-back period, right, you know, those assets are no longer in Betty or George's name. So, you know, Betty would probably still have to spend down a little bit on George's care, but a lot less than she would have
originally.
Yeah, had she failed to make those transfers.
Right.
Right. So that's one avenue that works really well. A great thing about this too is it protects legacy, right? Protects the property assets of Betty from getting mixed up with George's just in general, right? So we've talked in previous episodes about oftentimes spouses or seniors that are 65 and older will get married. They'll want to combine their assets, or initially they'll start with things separate. And over time, they'll say, well, but I love George and I trust him and I don't think he'd ever do the wrong thing after I'm gone. Well, that's not always the case. And it's not that George is a bad guy either, but maybe George doesn't like your kids or Betty's kids or something like that, right? So,
Or what if George remarries again after Betty's gone?
Right, which is, you know, again, that's why we're talking about it, is because this is a common occurrence. So that prevents, you know, the greater portion of Betty's estate from getting mixed up in that scenario, right? Mixed up as in combining those assets and then leaving everything to George and George leaving everything to his kids, things like that. So that's, you know, a multifunctional avenue. I will talk a little bit about the irrevocable trust because that's a common question that I answer, is what's the difference? With a revocable trust, it's almost like moving money from your backhand pocket to your front hand pocket. It's a little bit safer there, right? But it's still on your person. You still own it. You can always take that money out of your pocket anytime you want. You can spend it. You can put more money into that pocket. So that's kind of how I explain a revocable trust. An irrevocable trust would be like me taking money from my backhand pocket and giving it to Christina to put in her pocket. Christina is now the trustee of this irrevocable trust. She's the holder of my property. Mm-hmm. And she's a third party. So I no longer have that money on me. It's not on my person. No longer belongs to me. People say, oh my gosh, why would I ever just give away all my stuff?
Yeah, give it away.
The simple answer is to protect it from long-term care cost. So, you know, nursing home stays, they're on the rise because people are busy, and 24-hour care at home is very expensive.
It is.
Right? So the nursing homes do. I mean, it's still very expensive, but they make it a little bit more affordable. And these costs add up. So there is a trend right now of people doing lifetime gifts to their kids. Maybe that's their home. And then, you know, Betty and George still live in that home, but it's just owned by this irrevocable trust that Betty,
protects it.
Yeah, Betty and Betty's children are the trustee of that trust. So the trust is a separate taxpayer as well. And there's a lot of work that goes into these kind of plans. When I have seniors come in for an estate plan or situations like this, we talk about everything. I always joke, I'm like, I just met you, but I'm going to ask you all the tough personal questions today because I need to know what they own, what their goals are, what their health problems are, right? Do you anticipate needing this kind of care? What about your spouse? Do you anticipate that they will? Let me tell you about long-term care costs. So these are all really important conversations that anybody entering a marriage should have. But also it might be important to have these conversations before there is a marriage.
Right.
So if your parent or your aging loved one is thinking about marrying again and they've found, you know, they found love again, I would encourage them to talk to an elder law attorney about these things because you just don't know what you don't know.
Right. Have that conversation before making any decisions.
Right.
Get the education.
Right. And know what your options are because in certain scenarios, I've worked with someone who, it's just like the Betty and George scenario I gave you where they were dead set. They insisted on getting married and they did not want to cohabitate, but they agreed to the prenuptial agreement and they agreed to, you know, this irrevocable trust to protect that property for their kids. So their funds and their legacy, their lifetime of earnings was not spent on their new spouse's nursing home care, you know. So a lot of times these plans aren't for people that, you know, a lot of my clients say, I don't care, I'm just going to spend every penny on nursing home. And that's great, but it's another thing to be spending it, you know, on someone else. And I think kids would agree. So it's important for, you know, my senior clients to know these things, but also for their children to be aware that these options exist. I often meet with my clients and their kids, obviously for attorney-client privilege purposes. I have separate meetings with my clients, but it's important to loop the whole family in on these kinds of things. Did you have any questions for me, Christina?
What if the aging adults do not have children? Does that change anything? Would you change anything that you've said? Or is this all still a good idea to...
Yeah, no, that's a really great question. And people will... oftentimes tell me, I'll have clients come in and they say, I don't have any kids, so I don't really know what I'm doing here. Do I even need a will? And I would argue that it's actually more important for couples that don't have children to have a will because, you know, you don't have that natural designated heir by law, right? So we don't have everything going to the kids. Y'all have to make or they have to make strategic decisions on what they want their estate, whether they want it to go to family, a charity. And then, you know, oftentimes too, once people start thinking about that, they say, that's a great idea. I want to start maybe a 529 account for my great niece or nephew or things like that. And then they'll really invest in these charities or they'll want to leave money to the church, things like that. And I think to a certain degree, people get more invested in those plans and more attached to them. So These are definitely conversations that need to be had with people that don't have children to make sure that, you know, they've designated these very specific, very thoughtful distributions of their estate. And I can talk to them about how to make sure that those distributions actually get to where they want it to go.
Yeah. Well, and then there's just so many little things that people don't think about. Example, if you're a widow and you remarry, you could lose that survivor's benefit. And then if that new marriage ends in divorce, you've lost that. And then where are you going to get your income?
Right. So as far as veterans benefits go, that's a really excellent point. Yeah, there's a lot that it's funny. So I'm actually getting married in May, so about 5 months. And it's funny how it's an exciting time, but you start having these really serious conversations. And I feel like it's almost easier when you don't have a lot of stuff. So when I look at my seniors that are getting married, I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys have like
a lot,
17 different conversations about all these little things you guys need to do. As far as combining assets, and, you know, I like to think I'm not carrying a lot of baggage, but, like, you know, baggage comes in all different forms, right? So financial baggage, the longer you live, the more assets you accumulate, the more conversations you're going to have with a future spouse. Definitely. All right. I think that's all we have. This is an interesting topic. It's something that people just don't think about, right? When you go into a marriage, you don't really think about death or illness, right?
Or long-term care.
Long-term care. So it's not really on the mind when you're planning to become married to someone, but it's something that you need to think about because you are, you know, signing yourself up basically to pay that bill or that debt that's incurred by long-term care expenses. So definitely, you know, something to think about, but something to also talk about. If you have any questions about this podcast or this topic in general, contact our office. Our information is on the website. And otherwise, I think
that's it.
Well, thanks for listening today. We really appreciate it.
You've been listening to Inside Look at Legal with your hosts, Keith, Miller, Butler, Schneider, and Pollack. Learn more at www.arkattorneys.com.